All right, well, so we're going to be in Ruth chapter 2, verses 14 through 23 today. We're going to finish chapter 2, and I'll go ahead and open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day and the Lord's Day, and that we can just come together as a church and study your word and encourage each other to love and good deeds. And so we just pray as we spend these next few moments together looking into Ruth that we would walk away with a deeper appreciation for your providence in all areas of our lives, as shown in Ruth chapter 2. And so be with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So last time we were together, we went through Ruth 2, the first 13 verses. And in those first 13 verses, we were first introduced to Boaz in verse 1. And Boaz is introduced to us as a man of great wealth and integrity. We learn that he is a relative of Naomi's deceased husband and someone who is playing a pivotal role in God's plan in Ruth 2. And then in verses 2 and 3, we see Ruth's initiative and her hard work. So Ruth is determined to provide for herself and Naomi, and she takes the initiative to glean in the fields. And her steps, though it was seemingly ordinary, are providentially guided by God to the field of Boaz. And then in verses 4 through 9, we see Boaz, his kindness and his generosity, which he shows exceptional kindness to Ruth and ensuring her safety and provision. His actions just go beyond the basic legal requirement of allowing gleaners in his field, and he instructs his workers to look after Ruth. And then in verse 10, we see Ruth's humility and her gratitude as a result of Boaz's kindness. She's overwhelmed by his favor and humbly acknowledges her unworthiness, mainly because of her status as a foreigner. Her humility stands out as she recognizes God's grace working through Boaz. And then we see in verses 11 through 13, Boaz, his blessing. He blesses Ruth and her loyalty to Naomi and acknowledges her faith in God and encouraging her that she has sought refuge under God's wings, which really is a pivotal verse, if not the center verse of all the book of Ruth. And Ruth responds with continued humility and gratitude as she is accepting Boaz's favor. And some of the key themes that we learned that we took away was we noticed God's providence, how God orchestrates circumstances to provide for Ruth and Naomi, showing his care and sovereignty even in the midst of life's mundane events. And then we see Boaz, his character, is on display. He exemplifies a godly leader, his generosity and his protection. His act of protecting Ruth is foreshadowing the kinsman redeemer role that we're going to be noticing in verses 14 through 23. And then we also took away Ruth's humility and hard work as she was diligent in her work. And her humility highlighted the blessings of hard work as she trusted in God's provision. So what we're going to learn in verses 14 through 23 is that this is the big takeaway, is that God's providence is seen in the undeserved favor of Boaz as he shows it to Ruth. And this favor is a picture of God's grace and provision in the lives of his people. So it's God's providence is seen in the undeserved favor that Boaz shows Ruth. And so the title of this lesson is simply God's Providence in the Favor of Boaz. And we'll see the first point is here in verses 14 through 16, and it's Boaz's generosity towards Ruth. It says in verse 14, read with me, "And at mealtime, Boaz said to Ruth, come here and eat some bread and dip your morsel into the wine. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed to her roasted grain. And she ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. And here we see the extraordinary act of grace. Boaz, a man of great wealth, invites Ruth, a Moabite widow and a foreigner, to join him in his meal. And it was no small gesture that he gave her, because meals in the ancient world, especially in Israel, were not simply about nourishment. They were occasions for fellowship. They were social. There were social boundaries that were clearly defined on who you ate with. And to be invited to the table was to be welcomed into a position of privilege and acceptance. And so Boaz just didn't tolerate Ruth. He extended fellowship to her. And if we notice here that Ruth didn't presume upon his kindness, the text implied here that she kept her distance from him, likely out of humility. And Boaz had to call her to come closer with the "come here." And it demonstrates an unassuming, humble character of Ruth, where she knew her place as a foreigner and didn't dare approach until invited. And yet Boaz, in his remarkable act of kindness, extends the invitation to her himself. The term wine here refers to a kind of sour wine or a vinegar that was commonly used to moisten bread. It was a practical provision, making the meal more palatable. And it reveals that Boaz was not just offering the bare minimum. He was providing a meal that was both satisfying and enjoyable. It goes beyond mere charity, and it's a gesture of lavish grace. And Boaz didn't ask his servants to serve her. When the text says he passed her roasted grain, or literally means to serve or pass, it indicates that Boaz himself was the servant of Ruth. And it's remarkable here, a man of great wealth, a landowner, lowering himself to the service of a poor foreigner. And it really is reminiscent of Christ's humility, who came not to be served, but to serve. And we also see here the abundant nature of Boaz's provision. Ruth just didn't eat enough to keep her going. She ate until she was satisfied. And the Hebrew word here means to be fully satisfied, to have more than enough. And this was more than likely the first time that Ruth had experienced such fullness in quite some time, given her poverty and her status as a foreigner. And the detail here that she had some left over is significant, because the extra portion becomes a symbol of God's abundant provision, not just for Ruth, but, as we'll later discover, Naomi as well. Ruth's gleaning and Boaz's kindness becomes the means by which God cares for this household. The leftovers that Ruth brings home are a tangible reminder of God's grace in providing more than enough for his people. So this meal, it points really beyond itself. It's Boaz's invitation to Ruth is a picture of God's invitation to us. Despite our unworthiness, he calls us into fellowship with himself, providing not just what we need, but abundantly more. And Boaz, his generosity reflects the heart of God, who not only provides for our physical need, but also offers communion with us. And then we see in verse 15, Boaz gives instructions to his workers. He says, read with me, "When she arose to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, saying, 'Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her.'" Boaz's kindness towards Ruth, it doesn't stop with a meal, and he goes beyond what the law required. by allowing Ruth to glean even among the sheaves. So according to Levitical law, gleaners were typically confined to the outer edges of the field, gathering the leftovers after the harvesters had passed through the first time. And yet here Boaz invites Ruth to glean from the very heart of the field, where the best and most plentiful grain would be. It was a privilege, and Boaz showed Ruth this privilege. It was a lavish generosity on his part. But Boaz, his care goes even further than just allowing her to glean. He gives explicit instructions to his workers not to reproach her. And this word can also be translated as rebuke or insult or shame. In a culture where Ruth as a foreign woman would easily be mistreated and ridiculed, Boaz ensures that she would be protected. He safeguards her dignity by making it clear that she was not to be humiliated or treated as inferior. And it reflects not only on Boaz, his generosity, but also on his godly character as well. He acts as a protector, ensuring Ruth's gleaning is carried out with respect. His actions in this passage provide really a beautiful picture of grace that goes beyond a mere obligation. He doesn't just fulfill the law, he surpasses it, demonstrating extraordinary kindness to Ruth. And it's the same way that God's grace towards us is not limited to the bare minimum. He gives abundantly, protecting and providing for us far beyond what we deserve. So it's really a wonderful example of the kindness and generosity that we can extend to others as well. As Christians, we're to reflect the extravagant grace of God in our dealings with those around us. Just as Boaz protected Ruth's dignity, you know, we can honor and respect those who are in our realm of influence, especially those who are vulnerable and marginalized. God's grace is never minimal. Our actions should mirror His boundless love and care. And then He also instructed His workers not to rebuke her. We see that in verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. He says, "And also pull out some from the bundles for her and leave it for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." We see His generosity goes even further in this verse. He instructs His workers to pull out some from the bundles for her, a deliberate act that exceeds really all expectations. He's instructing His workers to draw forth or pull out, which indicates that Boaz wanted to ensure Ruth's gleaning was made actually easier by intentionally leaving behind extra grain for her. This act of generosity that was neither required nor expected in that culture. Boaz, he's filled here with intentional grace that he just didn't allow Ruth just to glean the leftovers, but commands that she be given an abundance from the best portions of the field, which was unheard of at the time. The gleaners were expected to gather only what was left over after the harvesters passed through, but yet Boaz, driven by compassion, he ensures that Ruth was provided for abundantly. And for him to command his workers not to rebuke her shows that he was protecting her, making sure that Ruth is not mistreated or humiliated by his workers. It reiterates his earlier instructions to treat Ruth with respect and dignity, ensuring that no one would make her feel ashamed. It really reflects his godly character, his compassion. And then now we enter into verse 17, and this is the next point, where Ruth's diligence in God's abundant provision is seen. In verse 17, we see Ruth's work and her reward. Verse 17 says that, so she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So Ruth's diligence and her work ethic really are on full display here. She had worked tirelessly from morning until evening, gleaning in Boaz's fields. We know from verse 7 that Ruth had been laboring since early morning. And then now in verse 17, she continued working until evening. Most likely it was a 12-hour day. During the harvest season, here in early April, the sun would rise around 6 a.m. and it would set around 7 p.m. And the field workers, like Ruth, would typically break during the hottest part of the day, around noon. And the picture we have here is of a woman who labored with intensity and persistence, demonstrating not only her work ethic, but also her deep commitment for caring for Naomi. And we know that Ruth's love for Naomi and her resolve to provide for her reflect her humble and industrious character, which were qualities that were noticed by Boaz. So after this long day, a grueling day, probably in the heat of the day, Ruth beat out what she had gleaned, meaning she separated the grain from the chaff. So her hard labor produced an ephah of barley, which really is a astounding amount for someone to glean in one day. And scholars estimate that ephod would weigh anywhere between 30 to 50 pounds, roughly the amount of grain that a donkey could carry. So it was no small accomplishment. Ruth not only gleaned this enormous quantity, but then she had to actually carry it from the field of Boaz back into Bethlehem, which is a testament to her perseverance. So the 30 to 50 pounds of grain was significant. Barley being a staple food was used to make bread, porridge, and other simple meals. And given that an adult might consume 1 to 2 pounds per day, Ruth's harvest was enough to provide for her and Naomi for at least 15 to 25 days. So for several weeks, this one day of hard labor was enough to produce food for a couple of weeks. So God had provided far more for Ruth and Naomi than they could have expected, especially Ruth setting out that morning. Ruth's story is really here is a powerful reminder that God's blessings blesses hard work and faithfulness. When we labor diligently with hearts trusting in God's provision, He often provides in ways that far exceed our expectations. And just as Boaz's generosity reflects the lavish grace of God, Ruth's work ethic reminds us that our diligence in life, especially when done unto the Lord, often results in blessings far greater than we could imagine. And God's provision is always sufficient, and more often than not is abundant beyond what we could ever desire. And then now we're in point number three, Naomi's realization of God's hand at work. It's verses 18 through 20. And we see here in verse 18, Ruth shares her abundance with Naomi. And she took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also brought out and gave what food she had left over after being satisfied. We see Ruth's humility and generosity shine through as she returns home to Naomi, not only with a staggering amount of barley, but also with leftover food from the meal that she had with Boaz. We can imagine Naomi, who had sent Ruth out that morning empty-handed, witnesses her return at dusk with a sack potentially weighing up to 50 pounds of grain. The shock and amazement in Naomi's voice, you can almost hear it in verse 19, the next verse, where it says, "Where did you glean today?" It's as though Naomi can hardly believe her eyes. The sheer quantity of grain in itself almost appears miraculous. But Ruth doesn't stop there. She also pulls out the leftover food from her earlier meal, which is further proof of the overflowing blessing that she had received that day. And what we see here is Ruth's eagerness to share what God had graciously provided. She could have kept the food to herself, but instead she selfishly offers it to Naomi, a gesture that reflects Ruth's heart of gratitude and her deep love for Naomi. And it's really an important lesson to all of us, when God richly blesses us, that we should cultivate a habit of sharing with others, especially those in need. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians 9:7 that God loves a cheerful giver. And Ruth embodies that truth here. And she not only is grateful for the provision, but she's also eager to spread the blessings to Naomi, who had been her companion and support. So what's the big takeaway from this verse? Well, God's blessings are never intended to be hoarded. Ruth's willingness to share in her abundance with Naomi teaches us the importance of generosity. When we're on the receiving end of God's grace, we should in turn reflect that grace by meeting the needs of others if we're able. Whether it's material provision or spiritual encouragement, God calls us to bless others with what we've received. We can be cheerful and willing to give, just as Ruth was. And this is really a powerful testimony to God's abundant, gracious provision. And then we see in verse 19, Naomi's inquiry and her blessing. It reads, "And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where did you glean today? And where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, 'The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz.'" So we notice here Naomi's immediate reaction, her astonishment by the amount of grain that Ruth brings home. She fires really rapid-fire questions, a double inquiry. Where did you glean today, and where did you work? It reveals the excitement, almost borderline disbelief on her behalf. Her curiosity and joy spills over as she can hardly wait for Ruth's answer. And before even Ruth can respond, Naomi, in her astonishment, pronounces a blessing. "Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And this is significant because Naomi offers this blessing before she even knows who Boaz is. Or rather, recognize who Boaz is. Ruth's use of blessing indicates that she recognizes the divine hand of God's providence, even as she remains unaware of to the extent of God's work in this situation. And it's really a crucial moment for Naomi in her spiritual journey. And up until this point, she's been bitter and despondent, feeling as though the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. We notice that in chapters 1, verse 13, and then verse 20 through 21. Where she was asked to not be called Naomi anymore, but Mara, which means bitter. But here, we see a subtle shift where Naomi begins to perceive that God has not abandoned her after all. She acknowledges the favor that Ruth has received as coming from God's providence, through this unknown man. The phrase here, take notice, is from the same root word as in verse 10, where Ruth expressed her amazement that Boaz would show her favor. And here we see a shift from despair to hope as Naomi begins to see glimpses of God's hand moving in her circumstance. And then finally, Ruth is able to respond. But instead of answering Naomi's question about where she worked, she focuses on rather with whom she worked. Boaz. She rightly recognizes that the key factor is not the location of where she worked, but the man. Ruth's answer sets the stage for Naomi's profound response in verse 20. We'll read in verse 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May he be blessed by the Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken the living or the dead." Naomi also said to her, "The man is a close relative of ours, one of our redeemers." Naomi responds with a heartfelt blessing, specifically calling for God's favor on Boaz. Her prayer is an acknowledgement of God's covenant faithfulness, his chesed, love, which is his unfailing loyalty and love to his people. And Naomi declares here that the Lord's kindness has not forsaken the living and the dead, which is a profound statement because it signifies a major transformation in Naomi's outlook. In verse 1, she was bitter and despondent, feeling as though the hand of the Lord had gone out against her. But now she recognizes God's faithfulness has never wavered, even in the midst of her suffering. And Naomi is beginning to understand that God's providential care extends both to the living, her and Ruth, and to the dead, her deceased husband and her two sons. And it marks a pivotal shift here in the narrative from bitterness to hope. Naomi's recognition of Boaz as a close relative is the term in Hebrew, a goel, which is a kinsman redeemer. And this introduces the prospect of redemption. So the goel in ancient Israel had a crucial role as a family protector, legally obligated to redeem a relative's property and ensure the continuation of the family line. The goel was responsible for keeping the family inheritance within the clan and preserving the family's name if a male was lacking. So in the context here, Boaz's role as the potential redeemer brings hope not only to for Ruth's future, but also for Naomi's deceased husband and her two sons, whose name could be carried through the legal provision of the kinsman redeemer. So in Israel, the land was not merely personal property. It belonged to God. His covenant people, the Israelites, were stewards of the land that had been divided among the tribes and families in the book of Joshua. So if a man died without an heir, the family's portion of the land, it could potentially be lost, jeopardizing their inheritance. But we know in Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 through 10 provides a solution, which allows the goel to redeem the land and perpetuate the family's name. And Naomi sees that Boaz is one of their redeemers, someone who can restore what had been lost. Although there is a closer redeemer exists in the story of Ruth, as we're going to see in chapter 4, Boaz ultimately fulfills this role, providing a future for both Ruth and Naomi. God's providence is often at work behind the scenes, preparing a path to redemption long before it's recognized. Even in the darkest moments, God's sovereign plan unfolds, and it brings hope and restoration and deliverance. And just as Naomi's circumstances seem hopeless, God was already orchestrating a way to redeem her situation. And we can trust that God in his perfect timing always is working for the good of those who love him. And then we also see in the last point, Ruth's continued humility in God's ongoing care. And this is in verses 21 through 23. Ruth reports on Boaz's kindness. In verse 21, we read, "And Ruth the Moabite said, 'Besides, he said to me, you shall keep close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest.'" In verse 21 here, the writer emphasizes again that Ruth is a Moabite. And it's a deliberate reminder here that of her foreign status. It's not just a throwaway detail. It underscores a remarkable nature of God's redeeming grace and Boaz, his extraordinary kindness. Ruth, a foreigner from a people historically hostile to Israel, is not only accepted but also invited to partake in the blessings of the covenant community. God's redeeming love, it transcends national boundaries, extending to even a Moabite woman who sought refuge underneath Yahweh's wings. The writer here makes it clear that Ruth, despite her foreign heritage, is fully included in God's covenant faithfulness through her connection with Boaz and her faith in Yahweh. And Ruth reports that Boaz, his continued kindness, noting that she was to remain close to his workers until the entire harvest is complete. It's Boaz's protection and provision for Ruth are not merely temporary, but ongoing. This reflects a larger truth about God's care for his people, that it's not limited to a single moment or a season, but it's continual. Ruth's inclusion in the ongoing provision is yet another picture of God's grace towards those who seek refuge in him. Just as Ruth had come to Israel, forsaking her past in Moab, trusting in Yahweh, so too does God's steadfast love extend to her through Boaz, his actions and his favor. And the emphasis on her Moabite identity highlights the wideness of God's mercy. And God's provision and protection, they're not a one-time acts, but ongoing and continuous. And his care here extends beyond the initial moment of grace, covering the entirety of their lives. And just as Boaz, his kindness was not confined to this single day, but spanned the entire harvest, so too does God's faithfulness endure day after day. And then we see in verse 22, Naomi offers some counsel to Ruth. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young men, lest another in another field you be assaulted." And Naomi, recognizing the wisdom of Boaz's instructions, it affirms his advice for Ruth to stay close to the young women for safety. And this reflects Naomi's growing awareness of God's providential care through Boaz. Naomi is fully aware of the dangers that could come upon a young foreign widow in the fields of other landowners, where she most likely would be mistreated or worse. But Boaz's field, however, is a place of safety. And Naomi's wise counsel for Ruth to remain where God's protection is made evident. Naomi's advice also marks a shift in her own perspective. And earlier in the story, she had been bitter and disillusioned, but now she's beginning to see God's hand at work, guiding and providing for them through Boaz. And by encouraging Ruth to follow his instructions, Naomi acknowledges that God is using Boaz as a means of protection and provision for both of them. And this realization strengthens Naomi's faith, and it highlights the importance of really heeding wise and godly counsel in the moments of great decisions. And then we also see that Ruth was obedient in her ongoing work in verse 23. In verse 23 it says, "So she kept close to the young women of Boaz, gleaning until the end of the barley and wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law." So here Ruth demonstrates perseverance and commitment by staying close to Boaz, his workers, and continuing to glean throughout the entire harvest season. The barley harvest typically began early April and lasted until early June, covering about 7 weeks. And so during this time, Ruth worked faithfully each day, diligently gathering grain to provide for herself and Naomi, only taking the Sabbath off. And remarkably, all of this occurred within the context of Israel's festivals. Naomi and Ruth had returned to Bethlehem around the time of the Passover, a feast which celebrates God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And Ruth's work in the field continued until the Feast of Weeks, or also known as Pentecost, which marked the end of the harvest. And this details shows how God's providence guided these two women to the right place at the right time. Their return to Bethlehem at the time of the Passover, a festival commemorating God's faithfulness, highlights God's ongoing provision and care for his people. Ruth's dedication during the harvest reflects her faithfulness to Naomi and her commitment to her new life in Israel, as she promised Ruth in chapter 1, verse 16. So by day, Ruth would be out in the fields laboring, and by night, she would return home to live with her mother-in-law, remaining steadfast in her pledge to Naomi. And so for about 7 weeks, God graciously provides for Ruth and Naomi through the abundance of the harvest. While the exact amount of grain Ruth gleaned over time, it doesn't specify, we can infer it was probably substantial, considering the large amount that she had gathered in just one day. But yet, even as the harvest season drew to a close, new questions likely surfaced in Naomi's mind. For instance, probably what would happen once the harvest season ended? How would God continue to provide for them in the long term? And these questions really introduce the next phase of the story in chapter 3, where God's plan for Ruth and Naomi's future begin to unfold. And we'll see that in chapter 3 when we pick up next week. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we thank you for what we can glean from these verses, what we looked at in Ruth 2, that like Boaz, you are gracious, you go beyond what we could ever expect, that you not only provide us salvation, you provide us sanctification, we're justified, you fashion in us a heart that desires to please you, and I thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray now that you'd be with us the rest of this day, and that you'd be with Pastor Steve, and be with the message that he will bring. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.